1978, Dr. Herbert. For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the homily this morning is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, reading from verses 28 to 30. You know that with everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For those who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those who he predestined, he also called. Those who he called, he also justified. And those who he justified, he also glorified. God alone is the source of salvation. passage in Matthew 22, 37, where Jesus, to the people of Jerusalem, says, "How often would I have gathered you together, even as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you would not. You would not. Man and man alone is the cause of damnation." This principle that all Christian doctrine must be based on Scripture alone depends upon you, of our natural understanding, to the lecture and the doctrine of the law. We may not understand according to our reason such basic Christian teaching as the Triune God, the two natures of Christ, the virgin birth, the empty tomb, the presence of the Lord's body and blood in the Lord's supper. We accept these teachings because of the things that they have before us, just as we accept the scriptural teachings and the election because of what Scripture says, not as what we may understand. Other principles, basic tenets of the Christian faith, ultimately involved in the doctrine of election, are the principles of grace alone and faith alone. Now, in order to maintain the purity of these two terms, that we are saved completely by God's grace, completely by faith, which again is the work of the Triune God, we must associate these principles also with the doctrine of the election. Otherwise, if we don't, grace may become an infused quality which gives us at least the discipline to set us on the right track so that we may contribute at least something for our salvation. Or faith becomes a positive contribution on our part. But connected, related with the doctrine of election, both God's grace and our faith are completely gifts of God. Nothing at all to our grace. Another essential tenet of the Christian faith, ultimately connected with the doctrine of election, is the doctrine of renewed grace. That the Holy Spirit does not work through this, not work through human relations, but only through the word and sacrament, through the written word, the visible word, the word. In this time as well as today, people at times look for the assurance of their spiritual faith. They look for certain outward signs, some emotional feeling, or outward mark of speaking in tongues, supposed gifts of healing. But this, together with the doctrine of election, the scripture teaching that the Holy Spirit alone works through the means of grace, we have a intimately connected picture of Christian teaching. Because, again, the Scripture says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Baptism is a washing of regeneration. Christ's blood was shed for the remission of sins. Our assurance concerning our spiritual faith is that all of it derives from the word and the message, not from human emotion or outward sound. Another principle, particularly the principle of Lutheran theology, which is of the scripture, is the separation of law and doctrine. Now, here again, the great danger throughout the history of the church has been, when studying the doctrine of election, to confuse law study, when it was preached, when all these things are passed, giving us assurance that God's election from eternity to salvation is only doctrine. Any attempt to understand damnation or the cause and source of damnation through God's election is confusing law and doctrine. Is the great comfort which this doctrine gives. Many people, especially in later years in life, are faced with the question, how can I be certain that I will continue in the Christian faith until my dying day? I will stand in the Christian side, that side, that faith, as long as I can remember. But what hope, what assurance, what confidence do I have that I shall continue in the same faith at the hour of death? My dear Christian friends, if the faith of a Christian will be anywhere, in any way, the work of that individual Christian, if it were the result of human endeavor, there might be cause for alarm. There might be reason to doubt. But according to the doctrine of election, all faith is the work of the Holy Spirit who works through the means of grace. It is the triune God which has engendered faith and which sustains faith through the word and practice. All just as an individual would absolutely refuse to study the word, absolutely refuse to participate in the Lord's Supper, shutting out completely the Holy Spirit from his sight. There might be a possibility, except there is a danger of falling from faith. But people who have these questions, these Christians who have such questions, are Christians who would never think of such an illusion. They would continue to use the word and the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. They should therefore have the greatest comfort, the greatest assurance, the greatest hope that they will continue in faith until their dying day. For as Paul says, again in chapter 8 of Romans, who shall separate us from the love of God? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Just comfort to know that our spiritual state, that our salvation is the result of a decision of God, our gracious Heavenly Father, from eternity, rather than